We continue our series this week on various narratives from the Gospels on the doctrine of salvation by grace alone. Our text for this morning is taken from Luke 23, beginning with verse 39. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed Jesus, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we are indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. In the mid-1990s, the Boston Police Department was having trouble with a large rash of car thefts that had been taking place, and they suddenly caught this one notorious car thief. And they discovered, after they had him put away in jail for a while, that the thefts of automobiles in the Boston area dropped by over 10%. This guy was good. And they decided to go and find him in jail and to actually hire him to teach them about how thieves go about their work so that they could better catch future thieves and so on. What can you possibly learn from a thief? This is possibly before us the most famous thief of all, the thief on the cross before us in our text. And what can we possibly learn from him when it comes to our spiritual lives today? First of all, God would have us learn this: how we approach God, how you and I in our hearts approach God and come to him. Not coming in arrogance, not coming demanding anything, not coming even expecting anything, not coming trying to dicker and bargain with God, "If I do this, then will you do that," and so on. Not acting in any way like we hold something in our hand that can matter to him. The only thing that this man is relying upon, he clearly recognizes his own guilt. He says to the fellow thief next to him on the cross, "We're getting what our deeds deserve." He clearly knew his sin. But the only thing that he's relying on is the mercy of the man between the two of them. The compassion, the tenderness, the undeserved love of the man between them, the God-man, Jesus Christ, whom he clearly confesses because he says this man has done nothing wrong and he's being crucified for such claims. And so the humble approach of this man is the primary lesson, you might say, that God would teach us from this thief about how we are to come before him. He simply says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Martin Luther said this about this man's words: "God wants you to pray and to be heard because of his mercy, not because of your righteousness." And that's important for us to always keep in mind, that God wants us to come and approach him because of his heart for us, not because we somehow have something to offer. And you can see this in Jesus' ministry. This week we've been looking at various stories that demonstrate salvation by grace. And we see this so clearly. The woman who comes is caught in adultery. Another story we have of how the woman comes before Jesus, the prostitute from town, and cries at his feet. We think about how Simon Peter at the great catch of fishes came before Jesus and said, "Get away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." But Jesus lifts him back up and puts him to work in his kingdom and so on. This is how God wants to be approached, not just when you enter Christianity, but all the time. It's the same humble attitude toward ourselves and relying only on his mercy that he wants us to know and realize is our one avenue to him. The Lord tells us, "A broken and a contrite heart he will not despise." That's very comforting. A broken and a contrite heart he will not despise. Now think of the ironic contrast that we have in this scene. Here you have this criminal dying next to Christ, having to be crucified by society because he's so wicked and evil, Down below, in the crowd, jeering at Christ, are probably scribes and Pharisees who outwardly have this morally good life. They are the church people of their day, the ones who want to stick to the morality of the Old Testament and so on, but who are depending in their own goodness. And Jesus has condemned them in their self-righteous thinking and turns to this scum of the earth thief who is approaching God with a humble heart and repentance, and of all people promises him life in heaven. And we see here how gently God deals with the crushed sinner. Jesus doesn't stop and think for a moment and say, well, I don't know, that's a pretty big request. He doesn't say to the man, well, let's take a look at what your life record has been like. He doesn't say to him, I tell you what, I've got some things you can do in the future, and if you follow those and carry those out, then maybe we can talk about heaven. His grace to him and his entrance, his opening of the door of heaven to this man is immediate. He can't wait to speak absolution to him and his tender grace. There's no wavering in his voice. He says, today you will be with me in paradise. As you leave this life, you will already be experiencing paradise. You can't find a more wonderful, glowing example of how we get to heaven and how we get right with God than the thief on the cross. You know, God could have left this story out of the Bible, but he chose to put this one in because he knew that there are people like you and me that have certain things in our lives that maybe not even anybody else knows about that make you or me worry about Judgment Day, make us worry about what God thinks of us. And God wanted everybody in this room to take comfort and to know that his grace reaches even us. There are times when I've been counseling people in various settings about various sins and so on. It's interesting that sometimes even the strongest Christians, people who've been devout followers of the faith their whole life, all the way from birth, grown up in a good, solid Christian family and all of that, sometimes even pastors can start to inside be a little scared about God and about things that they've done wrong. But it's interesting how often in those settings to be able to just bring up and remind them of the story of the thief on the cross and it just all goes away. It's such a comforting story for everybody. And maybe one of you is sitting here today and there's something right now that is laying so hard and heavy on your conscience that really bothers you. And the guilt that you feel maybe is even to the point where it's hard to sleep at night. That's how bad it can get sometimes. God would have you take comfort in this text and to know of his tender, compassionate mercy, even for you, that there is no sin in this world that is beyond his ability and reach to forgive. How neat it must have been for that thief on the cross to actually have Jesus himself, the Son of God, on the day he died, maybe hours before he died, say to him, today you will be with me in paradise. Just think how neat that would be to have that kind of certitude, that certainty, right from the mouth of God himself. Wouldn't it be great if Jesus could do that for us today? If he could just drop into the sanctuary and walk up to each one of you and look at you and say, today, or when you leave this life, you will be with me in paradise. That's exactly what he's done. He just does it in a different way today. He uses my sinful mouth. He uses the absolution pronounced as the hand of grace is put on your head by your confessor. He uses the chalice that brings the blood of Christ to you, that cleanses us from all sin. You and I can have the same certitude about our hope of heaven as did this thief. And may God grant that we always learn from this thief how to approach God and also how to always treasure his amazing grace for us in Christ. Amen. Please join me then in the collect for Septuagesima Sunday. You'll find it on page 151. Page 151. We will use collect number 33, which is for Septuagesima Sunday, this past Sunday, on page 151. Lord God, Heavenly Father, Through your holy word, you have called us into your vineyard. Send, we beseech you, your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may labor faithfully in your vineyard, shun sin and all offense, obediently keep your word and do your will, and put our whole and only trust in your grace, which you have bestowed upon us so abundantly. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may obtain eternal salvation through him, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.